Whatever can be the matter? What do you want? I couldn't always answer these two simple questions, and they are the inspiration for today's episode. I'll tell you two methods I use to keep redirecting myself towards happiness. I've been using them for many years, and the end result is creating spaces that remind me of who I am, what I value, and what I'm dreaming of. This is Home with Intention, and I'm Jody Pear. Welcome to the Home with Intention podcast. I'm Jody Perry, your host. I support the do-it-yourself homeowners by delivering interior design services with empathy, intention, and simplicity at jodypairdesigns.com and by curating a collection of meaningful home products available at essentialpairings.com. My purpose with this show is to inspire you to create a home that is a reflection of you and what you value most in life. This podcast will support you in breaking through the limiting thoughts and fears that have been holding you back from creating a home that is uniquely you. There are no decorating rules or trends to follow here, only inspiration, ideas, and encouragement to express your kind of beautiful, a home that captures the essence of your soul. It's time to create your home with intention. Hi, everyone. I'm Jody Pear. Today's reading and inspiration is from Simple Abundance. And this one is so touching to me because it's so symbolic of what I experience in my own life. I've done a lot of readings from this book, and it's just a beautiful, touching book. And I primarily share the meditations that are specific to creating a home or organizing or something more very home related. But this one, the title is called Repotting, Giving Roots and Yourself Room to Grow. And I just wanted to share it with you. Again, it is just symbolic of what I'm experiencing in my own life and through my own journey, especially over this past year. It's taken me a lot to figure out how I help people. You know, I have said I'm more than just an interior designer. And what I am discovering is that I help people, primarily women, to connect the dots in their own life between what they value, the actions that they take every day, and the manner in which they are creating their home environment. And it took me a lot to get to that point, to be able to say that. And I am so passionate about it because it's my pursuit. This is what I do for myself. And this is what I have learned over the years. And it's always evolving and changing. And it's taken a long time to identify my own actions of what I am doing. If I get to a point in my life where I am feeling frustrated or unhappy about something, what I will start to do is I naturally start looking around my home. Or when I was working, I would look around my office and I would start to rearrange some things, dust, clear the clutter, and put my piles, like especially at work, I would, you know, put my piles of paper, you know, stacks of paper, I would put them into a manageable pile. And I just freshen up my space. And it's simple things. And I would discover over and over again that it would just lift my spirits and give me a new boost of energy and a spark, just something. It's exciting to me. And I worked for 30 years at the University of Michigan Dearborn. I was a secretary there, and it was very comfortable and very familiar. I loved the relationships that I built there. But for close to my last 10 years working there, my heart was longing to be immersed in some interior design, something about the home. All I want to do is have conversations that inspire people to create a home that they love to be in, create meaningful spaces. And, you know, there wasn't room for that in my job as a secretary. So I ended up retiring there, you know, after 30 years, but to soothe myself over those years until I could actually leave, I started decorating my cubicle differently. I mean, it's something that I always did and I was kind of known for. But during my time there, you know, during those last 10 years, I discovered a tool that is used in feng shui, and it is called the Bagua map. And so I started decorating my cubicle according to that Bagua map. So here's a picture of my cubicle. And what happened by using this map, I would be sitting in my chair, literally, physically, in the center of my cubicle. But as I was sitting there, I was surrounded by decorative items that were full of symbolism. And they were telling me stories. Because, you know, as you've heard me say, you know, home is a reflection of you. And this applies to the work environment, especially in my situation, because I was sitting in the same cubicle every single day. So I was careful on what I was putting in my environment. And there were just ordinary things like framed photos, paperweights, bookends, plants, and crystals. But this is where I discovered the power of decorating with intention, because I might be faced with a day that was, you know, felt like chaos, or there was an unhappy person in front of me that I had to help somehow. Yet I could look around my area and be reminded about the most important relationships in my life, about love, about my dream of owning a shop someday. Another area of my cubicle might remind me that I need to nurture myself. And so this practice eventually turned into the book that I self-published called The Art of Decorating with Intention, A Guide to Creating an Oasis for Your Soul. And along with the decorative items that I had surrounding myself that helped keep directing me back towards happiness, I also created a binder for myself, a 3-ring binder. And in this binder, I had notes that I was writing to myself during my lunch hour. And, you know, these are things that I wanted to accomplish in my life, things that I wanted to start in my own business. And so literally I was carrying my dreams around with me every single day, and I kept them next to me while I was at work. And that binder eventually turned into me creating a planner that I call Dreaming and Scheming with Thoughts, Words, and Actions. And so that planner, it's a soft cover, small, almost like a, I don't know, like a high quality magazine, I guess. So I love the beach and the cover. That's why the cover of the planner contains beautiful images of the water, sky, and sand. It's meaningful to me. And then inside there are inspirational quotes and images that helped me ignite a spark every time I opened it. I discovered over the time that I was really struggling and trying to get to what I was really longing for, I started discovering habits that I needed to have daily to help me feel my best. So there's a list of things that allowed me to check off if I was doing these things that I know I needed to nurture myself every day. And so this is what I mean by connecting the dots between my personal values, my daily habits, and the environments that we are in. I personally had to create so many visual reminders for myself that were in writing. They were on my computer. They were in my decor at work and at home, because you know, I don't think I'm alone in this, but I, you know, we get busy with the demands of daily life and, you know, and helping others and whatever else that means. And I would forget what I needed to do for myself to make myself feel better. And I would forget what I wanted to accomplish. You know, what do I want to experience in this life? You know, when you get caught up in that daily, I don't want to say grind. I mean, I love my life and I love the things that I'm doing, but I think I personally get so distracted and I forget what I need to do for me and what is meaningful for me to make me feel my best. So these two books that I'm talking about are tools that I created for me, and I continue to use them every day to check in with myself, to see if I am aligned, to see what am I doing every day? Am I doing things that make me happy? And big picture things like, you know, my dreams and my, you know, I dream of having a shop someday. I dream of going on like a personal, like a spa retreat, you know, I don't know, somewhere. What else? Like I'm looking in front of me because I physically have reminders in front of me. I create images and quotes and words, and I combine them into collages that just help keep me focused and remind me of what my heart is longing for. So today's meditation from Simple Abundance, again, is called Repotting, Giving Roots and Yourself Room to Grow. It just really struck a chord with me because this is something that I learned to do for myself naturally through decorating my spaces, whether it is at home or when I was working. It's just a powerful reminder of who I am and what I need and what I, you know, in my daily life and what I am still dreaming to experience in my life. So it's a powerful way to decorate our spaces. So I hope you enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for the full reading from Simple Abundance, and I will see you next time. Bye. A reading from Simple Abundance, a daybook of comfort and joy by Sarah Von Braunick, June 28. Repotting, giving roots and yourself room to grow. Little flower, but if I could understand what you are, root in all and all in all, I should know what God and woman is. Alfred Lord Tennyson. Uh-oh, dropping leaves, whatever can be the matter. The plant has been watered, it basks in the light, it's neither too hot nor too cold. I pick up the pot and look at the small drainage hole in its underbelly. Tiny white roots are frantically pushing through in a futile attempt to escape confinement or at least find a little more breathing space. Pot bound. Did you know that plants need to be repotted at least every 2 years? This has not been a problem for me in the past, since plants rarely made it that long around here. But as I become a better caretaker of myself, I care better for everything. However, even if the roots don't need more room to grow, the old soil should be replaced because all the nutrients have been consumed. The interior of the pot is a wasteland. I don't know when I myself am too pot-bound. Gunilla Norris confesses in her numinous devotional, being home, lacking courage to be replanted, to take the shock of the new soil, to feel into the unknown and take root in it. We too need to consider repotting for growth, but when? When we wilt even before the day begins, when we can't seem to visualize or dream, when we can't remember the last time we laughed, when we have absolutely nothing in the next 24 hours to look forward to. When this happens week in, week out, we need to realize that we're pot-bound. We need to gently loosen the soil around our souls, find something that sparks our imagination, quickens our pulse, brings a smile or a giddy lilt to our conversations. But repotting doesn't mean we have to leave the marriage or quit the job. It just means we need something new. Why is it too late to go back to college if you do it one course at a time? Maybe this is the summer to learn to speak French or to start your own gift basket business. Perhaps you can get the sewing machine fixed, try making blackberry cordial, or take up fencing. What's stopping you from writing for that grant, applying for the fellowship, pulling together that one-woman show, attending that lecture series, publishing your own newsletter, or just sending for that intriguing mail order catalog? As I work with my plants, I see that the roots are just stunted. Gently with my fingers, I untangle them. Leaf, stem, root. Mind, body, soul. Three in one. Spirit's seamless thread of mystery. I have often thought that if I could just discover where one strand left off and another began, I could understand it all. As it is, I understand little, yet somehow I know. I set the plant into a slightly larger pot. Not too large, we must not overwhelm, but encourage. So too, I must not take on the world, but simply each task before me. Now I add rich potting soil, water. Slowly I take the plant to a shady spot for a day so that it can become adjusted to its new environment. But even at this moment, the stem seems straighter, the leaves uplifted. Speak to him, thou, for he hears, Tennyson urges. Spirit with spirit can meet. Closer is he than breathing, and nearer than hands and feet. Root and bud bear silent witness to the restoration. Thank you so much for being here. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you listen on, because it helps me to grow this podcast and to reach more people. Because the more people who choose their surroundings with intention, the more people can follow their heart back home to themselves, which is the mission for this podcast. Once a month, I will randomly select a reviewer and offer them a free download of my book, The Art of Decorating with Intention, a guidebook to creating an oasis for your soul. For more frequent insights and inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at Jody Pear Designs. I have been fortunate enough to find the most helpful resources and amazing people whose work has touched me and inspired me to show up here today. TheHouseCoachingInstitute.com, Kathy Heller's inspiring podcast, Don't Keep Your Day Job, Allison Barker's work and her new podcast, Your Soulful Brand, The Sherry and Nancy Show, a podcast for women in their 50s that is hilarious and deeply inspiring, and Sandy Monroe. She is a joyful life lived on Instagram, and her brilliant teachings and guidance are exactly what I need. I'm so grateful to have found each one of you along the path towards fulfilling my dreams. I'll see you in the next episode of Home with Intention.